Well, here we are, just at one day now from Pentecost. We've observed the New Testament Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we've also heard about Christ's resurrection and ascension to heaven in symbolic fulfillment of the Old Testament Old Testament wave sheaf offering. And so let's take a moment to review the resurrection scene as John and Luke recorded it. Begin in John 20 today, at least in this message. Go to John 20. Sure, there's a John in my Bible. Welcome to those of you who are watching in. Notice my skills are not very good in finding John 20. All right, we're close. Okay. On John 20, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Early on Sunday morning, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. And she said, 'They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.'" And she was quite concerned about that, having shown up there to finish the preparations for the body with spices and so forth. And she and the other ladies that were with her were quite taken back. And verse 3 says, "Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb," after she came and told them that it had been taken away. And on the first day of the week, verse 18, "Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early and while it was dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." So this began a day of surprise for them and for the disciples and other followers who had been a part of the group of 120 that had followed Jesus until his death and followed him closely. So in verse 18 of John 20, Mary Magdalene came to the disciples, and once again it's told her that the Lord had been seen and that he had spoken things to her. Now in Luke 24, a little easier because it's the book next to it. Luke 24, beginning verse 1, we're going to read through verse 12. "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bearing spices that they might, that they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." And this begins to set the stage of the mindset of the followers of Jesus. They were perplexed. They were going to be even worse condition than that before the day was over. But we'll mention that as we get closer. Why do you seek the living among the dead?" they said. "He's not here, but is risen. And remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And then they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb and told all these things," or returned from the tomb, "and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with him who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to be like idle tales, and the others did not believe them." It was too much to believe. It was too much. They had witnessed death among people many times, and only a few did Jesus resurrect. But they did not believe them. "And so Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." What do you suppose was going through the minds of the disciples? What were they thinking? What were they to do? They really were at a loss and bewildered. What they had anticipated, what they had expected, had not occurred. Instead, the world had been turned upside down on them. They'd gone from the heights of anticipation and expectation that the time for God's kingdom had come to the depths of sorrow and doubt over crucifixion and death of their friend, their teacher, and their expected king, Jesus Christ. How must they have felt during those days between the resurrection and Pentecost, when Jesus was no longer with them daily, when they were confused as to what course they should take now? Should they give up and return to their former lives and occupations? Can we empathize with those faithful men and women who would soon be the first fruits that Jesus would use to begin building his church? This afternoon, let's put ourselves in the sandals of those humble, bewildered followers of Jesus and walk with them as they faced a very difficult and challenging time. Pentecost, we'll see how they, as we review the recorded events of these days following the resurrection and before Pentecost, we'll see how they were encouraged and comforted, how their doubts were relieved, how they became refocused and became a dynamic, growing church, spreading the good news about Jesus Christ's resurrection and the kingdom of God. Let's begin to discover the purposes of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus the Christ during 40 days of encouragement. 40 days of encouragement. You know, following the death of a loved one, a most comforting and yet unattainable desire is just to be able to talk with him or her one more time. The loss of a loved one is one of the most difficult trials we face as human beings. The disciples had lost a loved one, but not just a loved one. They had lost the one in whom they had placed great hope and expectation of deliverance from the human, from the Romans by the establishment of the kingdom of God. One of the most encouraging things Jesus did for his disciples in the days following his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven was to be with them, to talk with them, and to instruct them again. The scriptures record some details of seven separate incidents when Jesus appeared to the disciples. And we're going to read about each of those appearances today and see the encouragement that Jesus gave to his friends. I'd like for you to notice as we review these post-resurrection appearances that Jesus did not only appear to the apostles, not only to the leadership, not only to those who might think be thought of as important people in the new church. He spoke to others, just common folks that had been following him. So first, we've read about Jesus appearing at the tomb to Mary in John 20 and Luke 24. So let's go to the second appearance. But in that first one, he gave them hope. And when they tried to share it with the other disciples, they ran a little run up against the unbelieving portion, the doubting that they had. But that changed as the day went along. In Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, this is the appearance to the unknown disciples, unnamed, I guess I should say, on the road to Emmaus. I'm going to speculate a little bit on who this might have been. as we see here. Verse 13, it says, that same day ties this story firmly in with the other events on that Sunday following the resurrection. The same day of the news that Jesus was resurrected. Verse 18, we'll skip down to, talks about Cleopas. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Jesus, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Because Jesus had approached them. I guess I shouldn't skip that much of that. Let's go back to 13 and read. Now behold, two of them, this is the followers of Jesus, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that had been happening. And so it was that they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? He said, you look awfully sad and you're walking along here talking about something. What is it? What's up? And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and you not know of the things that happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests had and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, verse 22, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, this is Jesus now, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him and saying, abide with us, for it's towards the evening, it's getting late in the day, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Wow. You had a revelation. Jesus is there and is alive, breaking bread, and all of a sudden, he's gone. That's a challenge. You begin to think, where's my mind? Where's my brain? Am I seeing things, or is this true? But he brought that along. But they were looking for the Messianic Davidic millennial kingdom. And that was something else for them. In John 19, verse 25, he says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, this is my speculation on who these two folks were, in John 19, verse 25, and they stood by the cross of Jesus with his mother and his mother's sister, who would be Jesus' aunt, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, which would have been his uncle, and Mary Magdalene. The King James Version and the Young's literal translation uses the name Clopas. The names Clopas, Cleopas, and Cleophas all mean the whole glory, and are interchangeable. So it's possible that Jesus met on the road here this Cleopas and the other disciple with him may have been Jesus' aunt and uncle. It's friends of the family. Part of the family, not just friends of the family, not just followers. But I can't prove that to you, but it's interesting anyway. Put it in the Paul thought about this category. Not in anything that you're going to trust to be absolutely sure, but I think it sounds good. But they were saying in verse 21 here in Luke 24 that they were looking for the Messiah and expecting him, and he didn't appear to them. But he came, verse 34. The Lord says, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. That's them telling had been going on, things that happened on the road, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. This is when they got back and reported back to the disciples and told them the story of what had happened. In verse 1 Corinthians 15:1. I don't have a note here telling me why I'm going there, so let's go look. I'm curious. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me. This is the apostle Paul writing. Last seen by me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Jesus appeared to Paul even afterwards, as we know more about that in reading in the book of Acts. But not going to go there today. But the next appearance to the larger group of disciples without Thomas, as we'll note, this is a parallel account with some additional information from John 20, verses 19 through 23. But we're going to read about this in Luke 24. So we'll go back to Luke 24. Luke 24, and we're going to begin in verse 36 through about 53. I'm having a terrible time. Now, as they stood, as they said these things, this is the pattern of resurrection life, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, supposing that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." So he appeared to the others in the upper room. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have any food to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he ate it and took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name in all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." In John, 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," now that promise would be the Holy Spirit that he's referring to, "but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are imbued with power from on high." So to wait in Jerusalem, not in Galilee, but in Jerusalem. Verse 47, I don't know if I mentioned this, but what would be preached in verse 47? Is it just the message about the kingdom of God? No. It says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. So there are two facets of the mission to preach the gospel, is that not only about the kingdom of God, but also about Jesus Christ and his resurrection and the remission of sins that's available to us through that. But in John 20, the next group is to the larger group of disciples and Thomas. Thomas was not at the first appearance by Jesus that day. And in John 20, verse 24, we'll begin and read through about 131. "But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." That is, when he came to the upper room where they were staying. Not necessarily the same upper room where the Passover was kept, but in another housing part. "He came up there, and the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to him, and to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" It's kind of hard to put your mind wrapped around that, isn't it? He'd been there, he'd traveled with all the others, but you know what? They didn't believe either. I don't know if I've got it in these notes as we go through, but it says elsewhere that they didn't believe either at first. "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them." And they were inside because they were afraid they would be arrested and taken to prison cells and condemned and maybe killed as well. They just didn't know what to expect. They were hiding out, waiting for direction and inspiration. But Thomas was with them 8 days later, and Jesus came, and the doors were shut, and he stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas, who was in need of great encouragement, as the others had needed before, received it from the Lord Jesus. And he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and loved me and believed." And so Thomas was encouraged as well and began to believe and understand. So he makes several appearances, especially this one seems to be a special appearance for Thomas. The rest of them he came to all at once, and I don't know if Thomas had been there, what would have taken place. He would have probably believed then, but he just wasn't there the first time, and so Jesus needed to encourage him. And this one person who was weak in faith and doubts and fears demonstrates that Jesus loves us individually. As a group, sure, he does, and that's probably pretty easy to understand. But when we begin to question and think about it, does he love me? Why would he love me? I'm glad he loves us. Anyway, he came and also demonstrates that our failures do not mean that we cannot complete our mission. History credits Thomas with the taking of the gospel to India. We worship a God of many chances. Jesus could have rejected Thomas and any of them for not believing because he had been with them so long and told them. But let's move on to the next appearance here, where he shows up at the Sea of Tiberias or Sea of Galilee in John 21. We're in John 21, we begin at verse 1. After the disciples, these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." Now, you've probably heard, and I want to offer what I think is a better correct understanding, that Peter wasn't giving up. "I'm going fishing." You've heard that, I'm sure, at times in the past. But they said to him, we'll go with you. We're going to go fishing too. And so it is presented sometimes that Peter left his calling and went up to Galilee to go back to fishing and back to his business. And it's not so, as I'll show you here in just a minute or two. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That is the Sea of Galilee, not in Jerusalem. And this is the way he showed himself. The fellows that I just mentioned were there, and Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing." And they said, "We're going with you." And they went out immediately and got into the boat. That night, they caught nothing. It may seem odd that the disciples would return to Galilee, 90 miles approximately from Jerusalem, and several days' journey, after Jesus telling them to wait at Jerusalem. But here they are. There's more to the story than meets the eye. In Matthew 26, verses 30 and 31, 32, it's written, "And when they had sung a hymn," this is at the end of the Passover, "they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.'" Also, Mark 28 says the same thing, that he was going to go to Galilee and meet them there. So we have an opposite instruction on the surface. In one case, he said, "Stay in Jerusalem," and in the other, it's "Go to Galilee." In Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7, let's see, Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is here. "Now, after the Sabbath and the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And that there, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the earth, or the Lord, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes were clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified, but he's not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So there are two different instances here that are being referred to. One is to go to Galilee to meet with Jesus, as he had prearranged before his death and had told them about that. And then otherwise to go back to Jerusalem and stay there until Pentecost came. Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10 says that Jesus met them in Galilee, and Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there you will see me," or they will see me. So the most reasonable explanation for Peter and the others going to Jerusalem is that they went there at Jesus' direction for a prearranged meeting in Galilee before his resurrection. He had arranged this with them. While they awaited Jesus' appearance, some of them occupied themselves with fishing. We got a date and a time, and we know when Jesus is coming, and we know what mount we're going to meet him on. Let's go fish. So they did. And that just happened to be, it was their former occupation, but they didn't give up. They weren't going back into the fishing business. They hadn't rejected Christ. They were following his instructions to meet with him there. And why would they meet up there? Well, we'll get to that here shortly. The third time, in John 21, verse 14, John writes that this is the third time in John's account that they met with him. So the appearance on a mountain in Galilee, we read about in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. So he'd even given them a mountain, told them exactly where to go in Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. Would some of the 11 still have doubted that Jesus is resurrected, do you think? That doesn't make sense to me. But there were others that traveled with them and perhaps didn't get to see him in Jerusalem when he was appearing to the other disciples. So question would be answered, I think, in verse, it's presented in verse 16, the question. Verse 16 does not necessarily mean that the 11 were present. The fact that they doubted strongly suggests that there were more than just the 11 that were there. And it's possible, perhaps even likely, that Jesus arranged this meeting in Galilee because that was where most of his followers were. Most of his followers were from there. And it seems to be the most likely time and location for the gathering of the more than 500 disciples that Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 15. Galilee was a much safer place for a large gathering than in or near Jerusalem, where the Romans or the Jewish religious authorities might be able to interfere with them. And so it seems reasonable that they went up there under his direction before instructions from before his death to meet up there after his resurrection. So the final appearance and his ascension takes place in the book of Acts, Acts 1. So in Acts 1, beginning verse 1, while Jesus had previously been taken up into heaven when he appeared to the disciples in the fulfillment of the wave sheaf offering in John 20 and also in Luke 24 and Mark 16, the account of Acts, chapter 1 of Acts, seems to be his final appearance and ascension before Pentecost, which would come 10 days later. In Acts 1, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and encouraging them to stick with it, to explain to them that their mission had just begun, and that they were very encouraged by that. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This will be in the latter part, after they'd already met him in Galilee. He told them to come back to Jerusalem and wait there, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still hung up on the idea that this is Messiah, this is the time for Rome to be defeated and Israel set free. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These would be angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. They were now just 10 days from Pentecost and receiving of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, Jesus appeared to his friends and disciples on at least 10 different occasions between the resurrection and the final ascension to heaven 40 days later. He did so to encourage them, to allay their doubts and their fears, to refocus them from expectation of an immediate physical kingdom to the work he wanted them to do. They were about to be charged with the responsibility of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to all the world. It was a message that had never been preached at large before. But they would need more than 40 days of encouragement. They would need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. That momentous event, the coming of the Spirit, and the birth of the New Testament church would take place on God's annual holy day of Pentecost. My friends, today we are charged with the same responsibility of preaching a gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to all the world. And like those early disciples, we can't do it alone. We too need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this work. We're just one day from Pentecost to 2023. Let us pray that God will pour out his Spirit on his church and on each one of us to help fulfill that great commission. And a happy Pentecost to you.